Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. This week, the leaders of the Hellenic Caucus in Congress sent a letter to President Biden calling on him to invite President Christodoulidis to the White House to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Turkey's invasion of Cyprus. They also urged the Biden administration to take a series of steps that could take the U.S.-Cyprus relationship to new heights. In the meantime, Prime Minister Mitsotakis will visit New York and Chicago next week, a visit that highlights Greece's growing reputation beyond Washington. Andy Zamenidis, HALC's executive director, joins me to break down the latest developments on Cyprus in Washington and provide a look ahead at Prime Minister Mitsotakis' upcoming visit. Andy, great having you back on with us.
Good to be back, Thano, and to be talking to you from the frozen tundra of Chicago.
A tundra that will soon see Prime Minister Mitsotakis visit.
I will just say this. Prime Minister Mitsotakis seems to have the Barack Obama effect from 2008, where everywhere Obama traveled, we had good weather. This cold is going to dissipate just in time for the Prime Minister to arrive in Chicago.
That'll be good news for the team that'll be arriving then. But before we get to Prime Minister Mitsotakis, Andy, I want to start with developments in Washington, where Cyprus took center stage. How important would it be if President Christodoulidis was invited to the White House to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Turkey's invasion of Cyprus this summer?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate the Hellenic Caucus and especially Congressman Sarbanes for reminding the world that 2024 may be important for a lot of reasons, and we may get distracted with Greco-Turkish rapprochement, high-level political dialogue in D.C., but this July, as the world talks about other occupations, they talk about invasions in Ukraine and occupations of Ukraine. Much of the world is talking about, and here in America, they're talking about Gaza and the West Bank as occupied territory. It seems convenient for many that they neglect to speak about the occupation of Cyprus. And despite those 50 years of violent division and occupation, and the violence, some people may say, you know, it's a cold conflict. And to call it a cold conflict when people were murdered in 96, when thousands are still missing, and when Turkey makes constant incursions into the buffer zone militarily, when Turkey is using its military, its navy to bully ships exploring in Cyprus, I think is a little too rich to call that a frozen conflict. It would be important to invite President Christodoulidis to the White House, especially for President Biden, because President Biden, one of the first international crises that he dealt with as a senator was a Cyprus issue. He came in the early 70s, right before the invasion of Cyprus. One of his most impactful foreign policy moments as vice president was his historic trip to Cyprus in 2014 and helped, you know, really propel that reunification effort. And it would be a signal that American policy is consistent. If we're going to fight invasion and occupation in Ukraine, and we've spoken about this over and over, what Turkey's been getting away with in Cyprus was very much a model for Putin in Ukraine. If he's going to talk about ending an occupation in Palestinian territories, he's got to take this one on. And this is maybe even more important to some extent because this is a different Cyprus. This is a Cyprus that is far more closely aligned and is actively partnering with Washington, D.C. than the Cyprus of 1974 or 1984 or 2004. And being able to tackle both the deeper bilateral relationship and ending this, and these are President Biden's words, this last unremitting injustice in the region would be very important this year.
In their letter, Andy, to President Biden, the Hellenic Caucus leaders also made a series of key policy recommendations on Cyprus. Is Congress effectively laying out a roadmap for the Biden administration to really take U.S.-Cyprus relations to the next level?
Yes. The short answer is yes, but Congress is reminding President Biden what the law of the United States is. For example, it spoke about, let's be more robust about the 3+1 mechanism. That, by the way, is law. That's the Eastern Mediterranean Security and Energy Partnership Act. maybe President Biden's team thinks, oh, that's an act that's, you know, 4 years old. No, it's still the law of the United States, 5 years old at the end of this year. When he's talking about the lifting of the arms embargo and the permanent lifting of the arms embargo, in that same legislation, Congress laid out two conditions. Cyprus has met those conditions. It has adopted effective anti-money laundering measures. In fact, it had done so even before the legislation was signed into law. And then it has closed its ports to Russian warships. There is no more reason. There is no reason. This has been now for more than a couple of years that both these conditions have been met. So there is absolutely no reason for the arms embargo to go on an annual basis rather than a permanent repeal. And the visa waiver, that's a way to take the excellent government-to-government relations that have been established between Washington and Nicosia and make it people-to-people relations. Cyprus does not have the good fortune of having direct flights like Greece has to the United States. The Cypriots, because they were a British colony, Greek Cypriots historically have closer relations and more relatives in the UK than they have in the US. So getting this visa waiver and encouraging more people to visit the US, more people to study in the US or visit their kids who are studying in the US, more people to maybe do a business development trip off the cuff in the US would be a massive step forward in the people-to-people relationship.
Andy, I want to shift gears from Cyprus to Prime Minister Mitsotakis and the upcoming trip that he's got to the U.S. next week, specifically to New York and Chicago. What message, you know, aside from the fact that the team is brave enough to travel to both cities in January, does this send about Greece and its ties to the U.S. beyond the Beltway?
Yeah, we just talked about people-to-people ties. This is also the Greece has proven itself as an ally in Washington. And we know that two of the great, very proud moments for Greeks were the last two visits by Prime Minister Mitsotakis, one to the Trump White House and then to Congress. The iconic image from that trip was still the Senate Foreign Relations Committee presenting Prime Minister Mitsotakis a framed copy of the EastMed Act, and then his visit to the Biden White House, a working visit there, as well as his address to joint session of Congress. But that's government-to-government relations again. Now, this Mitsotakis trip is showing the excitement from the people and other stakeholders in the United States for Greece. Major corporations, JP Morgan Chase in New York, will be hosting Prime Minister Mitsotakis. The CEOs from the board of the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and from World Business Chicago are going to be meeting Prime Minister Mitsotakis. Again, the Chicago Council on Global Affairs is excitedly putting together a public program for Prime Minister Mitsotakis, and kind of, and that's the economic and soft power diplomacy that Greece is able to wage right now. And then finally, and this is very important, his direct engagement with the diaspora. He's coming here, he's going to do a, to Chicago, he's going to do a major reception with the diaspora. His team, his deputy foreign minister for diaspora affairs is coming ahead of him. It is very important. We have communications tools, Zooms, podcasts. It's easier to call people, the direct flights. The Greek state has an opportunity to build more direct ties with the diaspora. There's no need for intermediary institutions, whether it be the archdiocese or certain federations. The diaspora is very diverse. There is nobody, not us, not anybody who can claim to speak for the entire diaspora. So this is why it's important for the Prime Minister to be seen, to see the enthusiasm for his record and for Greece in general, beyond his government, and to be able to communicate this way with the entirety of the Hellenic diaspora in the United States.
Andy, thanks again for joining us. It's been great chatting with you.
We'll stay jealous of the warmth. I know 55 degrees Fahrenheit is cold for you in Greece, Thango, but we'll keep shoveling snow for you.
In other news, the government has ruled out the possibility of conducting a referendum on the matter of marriage equality. In an interview on Sky Radio on Friday, government spokesman Pavlos Marinakis emphasized that while the government respects the role and views of the church, it remains committed to implementing its policy program. This bill was one of our pre-election commitments, Marinakis said. Earlier on Friday, Archbishop Hieronymos, the head of the influential Orthodox Church of Greece, which opposes the government's plans to allow same-sex civil marriages, proposed the idea of a referendum to address the issue. Finally, Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis on Thursday said he hoped Greece would become an exporter of green energy in the medium term at a roundtable discussion on the topic of the European Green Deal at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Meanwhile, on Friday, Prime Minister Mitsotakis said in a Bloomberg television interview that Greece is planning to sell a large portion of its stake in Piraeus Bank S.A. soon, adding that the country was in the beginning of a long-term growth cycle. We need more competition in the banking sector, he said, adding that they still need to decide if the state will sell part or all of its 27% stake in the lender. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.